Okay, if you got your Bible, hold it up. Let's make our confession of faith together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bible with me today, if you would, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. If you're a new friend, if this is your first time here at Church on the Rock, we welcome you. We ask you to come back next weekend. If you don't like what I'm talking about today, maybe you'll like next week better. But give us a chance. Give us at least a month. And we're talking about how to deal with difficult people. See, where in the world do you come up with that series? Y'all ask for it. Amen. We passed a survey out to our congregation. All four services that we have on the weekend, all four services, we passed them out, and we asked you, what do you want me to teach on this summer? Head and shoulders above everything else. Head and shoulders above everything else, you asked if I would teach on how to deal with difficult people. What is a difficult person? It's a person that could be dominating, wanting to control and be in control. What's a difficult person? They could be a divisive person. They cause conflict. They love to argue. They love to quarrel. They love to stir things up. They love strife. What is a difficult person? They could be a deafening person. Now, what is a deafening person? All they do is scream and yell, curse and cuss and retaliate and get back and emotional. But whatever it is, we all have difficult people in our life. Now, don't look at them right now. Amen. But we all have difficult people in our life. And as long as you and I are on this journey called life, we'll have to learn. It's a learned skill. Everybody say skill twice. Skill, skill. You have to learn skills to get along so you can go along. You have to learn how to deal. We can't ignore them. They're always going to be there. If you think you're going to escape from them, move to another city and they followed you. Yeah? They're just there. It's part of life. Why, Pastor? Because we live in a broken, cursed world. We live in a world that's full of hurting people. Can we agree, church? And hurting people hurt people. Now, hurting people hurt people, but let me say another statement. Hurting people hurt people because they are holding on to their hurts. Hurting people hurt people because they're holding on to their hurts. They can't get past the hurts of life. And so we're talking about, how do we deal with difficult people? How do we reach them? How do we minister to them? Because you have them in your house, you have them next door, you have them at work and at school. We have them in our community. It's a part of life. It's a way of life. So we're learning, how do you deal with difficult people? Well, Pastor, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. We don't have enough of our mind to give any of it away. Anyway, I don't. Amen. I need all I got. Amen. I'm taking all kinds of vitamins to keep my mind. Amen. So we don't want to go do that. Well, I'm just going to tell them, straighten up. I'm going to tell them, you know, to fly right, get the ship in order, get going. Come on. I'm going to tell them, you know, what they're doing is not logical. What they're doing is not reasonable. Folks, you'll never change a difficult person through argument, reasoning, or logic. You'll never change a difficult person through logic, reason, or arguing or debating. How are you going to change them? You won't change them that way. Well, why, Pastor? Because the root of the problem is emotional. It's emotional. What they're doing doesn't make sense, but they don't see it because their emotions are reigning and ruling over their life, over their relationships, their decisions, and their choices. Boy, that's a huge statement right there. That's a bunch of psychology right there in Jesus' name. So what I want at the end of this month is I want to help you have restoration in relationships that should have never left your life. I want to help you not only have restoration, but reconciliation. And not only that, I believe God, I'm going to believe God for some new relationships in your life. Can I have a witness in the house? You see, when the devil wants to destroy you, he sends a wrong relationship, takes you out of church, takes you away from God. All Samson needed was one Delilah. All Samson needed was one Delilah to wreck his life. So when the devil wants to wreck your life, he sends the wrong boyfriend, wrong girlfriend, wrong husband, wrong wife, wrong this, wrong that, wrong friend into your life. But when God wants to bless you, God sends a God-ordained relationship into your life. Amen. And here's what I know. To go to a new level, you need a new relationship. Now, for God to give us more relationships, we got to be faithful with the ones we already have. So we have to learn how to manage and nurture the relationships that we have. We'd have to learn how to restore and reconcile so God will send us new relationships into our life. I want all three for you by the end of this month. Can you dig it? Is that all right? Come on, give God a good Sunday morning praise and shout. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so what I want to give you is I want to give you four, five, we have time, practical steps on how to deal with difficult people. And they're very practical, and they look easy, but they're really hard. They look easy, but they're really hard. And here's what I know. The right thing is always hard. The right thing is always hard. For lunch, I should have chicken and a salad, but I'd rather have, you know, White Castle. I'm going to do the right thing, and that's chicken and salad. Come on, can somebody feel me here today? Amen. So the right thing is always the hardest thing to do, but you will never regret doing the right thing. Then these five things are the right things, and they're too hard for us, so we need God's help to pull it off. Are you with me? Number one, Matthew chapter 7. And number one, Matthew 7, verse 1, here's our first principle. We landed here and ended here last week. Go to God before you go to the difficult person. Go to God before you go to them. Because if we just rush right in and retaliate, and how many know it's always wrong, I'm always out of God's will when I retaliate. Huge statements. I hope you're taking notes. Now you say, Pastor, I know so-and-so that does that. Well, the world's philosophy and values are different than ours. The world's philosophy is somebody stabs you in the back, you stab them back. But God's values and God's word, somebody hurts you, you don't retaliate. Somebody cusses you out, you don't cuss them back. You're all smiling at me. Praise God by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So what do? We go to God before we go to them. Why? Because we want to make sure we're not the cause of the conflict. We want to make sure that we don't have stinking thinking. We want to make sure that we don't have hardening of the attitudes. We want to make sure that we're flexible and we adjust. We want to make sure that God is in control of our emotions. We want to make sure that God is the potter and we are the clay and we are on his wheel. And God, you can do anything you want to do in my life. Amen, church? So we go to God before we go to them. And here's what the Bible says. Now, we have to learn these skills. Do not judge, do not criticize, and do not condemn others. But we have to learn how not to judge. Right, church? Because we're in a world that's politically correct right now. Everybody's judging everybody. Everybody's jumping to conclusions. Everybody is judging everybody. So you and I are going to have to learn it. It doesn't come natural. It isn't instant, and it's not easy to learn the skill of not judging and not criticizing. Do you know that if somebody hurts us and wrongs us and we get on Facebook and plaster it and criticize them? Do you know what we're doing? we are allowing that person to control our conversation. You ever think about that? Somebody hurts us, offends us, somebody wounds us and bruises us, and we respond incorrectly, and we criticize them, and we begin to gossip about them. We put it on Facebook, and we plaster that all over. What are we doing? We're allowing that person to control the way we talk. Well, if you think about that, that'll set you free. Because the way you talk, your conversation, your confession is the root of your victory or your defeat. Your conversation, your confession, the way you talk, the words you speak and I speak are the foundation. They're the root of our defeat or our victory. So we don't want to waste our time. We don't want to let that person who's difficult have any real estate in our head, any ground in our life. Amen, church? So we're going to what? We're going to. You're not going to wear me out. This is easy. We're going to do what, church? What class? Okay. Let's try it one more time there in the back, guys. I don't think anybody's hearing me. We're going to. We're going to go to God before we go to them. And look what he says. Don't judge, don't criticize, don't condemn. See, it gets quiet because we all have to deal with this, right? See how quiet it got right there? I got one. That's right. Praise the Lord. So we have to learn how not to judge, not to criticize, not to condemn, so that you won't be judged. Oh my goodness. So if I'm judging somebody, there are 10 people judging me behind my back. If I'm criticizing somebody, there are 10 people criticizing me behind my back. If I'm condemning somebody, then there are 10 people behind my back condemning me. What's that called? Sowing and... Yeah. Next verse. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn other people, how you deal it out, it'll be dealt back to us. How we measure it out will be measured back to us. He said, how you deal it out, it'll be dealt back to you. What goes around comes around. Next verse. Why do you stare from afar at the toothpick in your brother's eye when you have a telephone pole in your eye? Come on now, warm up to me. This is so true, isn't it? You know, isn't it amazing how we're taught to look for faults? You know, we are naturally negative as a society. Like if you're new here to our church, I just want to tell you right up front, I have a long way to go. You'll find faults in me. I'll mispronounce a word. I'll miss a scripture. You know, I'll say something that's not politically correct. And all the millennials come and tell me, you can't say that, Pastor. That means this. I had no idea that meant that. We got a long way to go. Amen. Our church is awesome. It's diverse. It's multicultural, multigenerational. It's a pioneer in St. Louis, has been, will be, but we're not perfect. But when you come in here, don't stare at our toothpick. Focus on 2,070 people that made decisions for Christ this year so far. Come on, somebody. Here's what I know. You're going to find what you're looking for. Can you agree, church? We're going to find what we're looking for. If we're looking for the worst, we're going to find it. If we're looking for the best, we're going to find it. So he says, you know, you need to come to me before you go to them, because you need to make sure you're talking about their little toothpick problems where you got telephone pole problems in your own life. Wow. So then he goes on. This is so amazing. Verse 4. So how can you say to your brother, let me get that out of your eye, when you got problems and you're a problem maker in your own life? You're standing in your own way. And God says, I want to help you. And then I want to help you reconcile and restore the relationship. This is beautiful. The next verse. What happens when we go to God before we go to them? As a hypocrite, first get the beam of timber, the telephone pole, first. Everybody say first. First, get the telephone pole out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly. The focus is on see clearly. Then you'll see clearly. What happens when we go to God before we go to the difficult person in our life, in our world, at work, next door? When we go to God first, what? And we say, God, here I am. God, if I'm the problem, let me know. God, if I need to change, please change me. God, areas of my life that are rough, smooth them out, God. God, the areas of my personality, God, you made me who I am. I dedicate it to you. God, help me to bring the best out of me so I can be a witness and bring glory unto you. And so when we do that, then God says the veil comes off our eyes, the scale comes off our eyes, and we begin to have his perception on the situation, and we see clearly what the problem is. Isn't that cool? We see clearly what the problem is in that relationship. Then we can deal with it with godly wisdom. Amen. So number one is I'm gonna help you out. We're gonna go to God before we go to them, right? Number two, you ready for this? Pray for them. Oh, Pastor, we didn't hear you. Can you repeat it? Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't gossip about them, because when we gossip about them and criticize them, we're allowing them to control our conversation. And our conversation is the root and the foundation for victory or defeat. You get what you say. So what do we got to do? Is we got to pray for them. Now, what is that? We don't wait for a feeling. We do it intentionally. We do it on purpose. And it's a choice. Right, church? So everybody say, pray for them. Okay, now watch this. This is so cool. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Never. What's never mean? Never, never retaliate. There it is in the Bible. Pastor, I thought you came up that with yourself. No, I would retaliate and I'd slap him. Come on, don't look so holy on me now. Yeah, I would retaliate. If I wrote the Bible, thou shalt retaliate and slap him twice. I didn't get to write the Bible. So what does God say? God says how to deal with a difficult person. Don't retaliate. When you retaliate, they cuss you out, you cuss them back. They hurt you, you hurt them back. You lower yourself. You lower yourself. You lower yourself to their level. So he said, I didn't say it, he said, never retaliate. Never insult for insult, scold, tongue lashing, berating, but on the contrary, bless them. Oh, Pastor, how do I bless them? Next word, praying. What are we to do? Not curse them, we're to bless them. Well, I want to know, what does that mean to bless them? Pray for them. By praying for them, you are releasing a blessing to boomerang back to your house. Oh, I love that. Now, you can't wait for a feeling. It won't come. You have to decide. You have to choose that I agree with God's word. God said it. God, give me the grace to do it. Because, God, it's really hard. And, God, what do I pray? God, do I pray they lose their job, get sick, wake up? What do I do? No, I pray the word of God. Come on, somebody. I pray the word of God. Now, what happens when we pray for them? Look at this. Pray for their happiness. Pray for their protection. And love them. Now, loving them is walking the love walk. And what is that saying? Spiritual maturity is revealed in our response to an insult. Spiritual maturity is revealed to our response to a difficult, divisive, demeaning a person in our life. How we respond to them reveals our spiritual maturity. So he says, love them, for know this. Everybody say, know this. Wow. Know this, that you have been called, you have a calling on your life, that you yourself will inherit a blessing, look at the scripture, from God. Don't expect them to bless you, because they're difficult. Don't expect them to bless you, but expect God Almighty to bless you. We pray for them, even if we don't feel like it. What do we pray? We pray the word. What are we praying? For their happiness, their welfare, and their protection. Then God said, you set a blessing into motion. You set a blessing into motion. That you've released a blessing, not from them, but from God Almighty. And God can release that blessing through anybody on the planet he wants to use as a channel to get it back into your life. Can somebody give God your Sunday praise? Come on. Isn't this good? So you pray for them, and then you will obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. So number one, we're going to go to them before we're going to go to God. Whew. We're going to go to God. We're going to go to them and slap them. No, we're going to go to God. We're going to go to God. I'm thinking of somebody right now. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to God. We're going to go to God. And then we're going to go to them. Number two, what are we going to do? We're going to pray for them. Oh, I don't feel like it. Well, get the revelation that God said, when you pray for them, God releases a blessing, not them. Don't expect them to bless you. God releases a blessing. You have a boomerang blessing that's going to come into your life, press down, shake it together, running over, good measure shall men give into your life. Amen, church. Number three, how to deal with difficult people. Choose to refuse to be offended. Choose. It's not easy, is it? Choose to refuse to be offended. You know, a few months ago, I got blessed. You know, we all need mentors and coaches in our life. Now, a mentor is different than a coach, okay? A mentor, you bring the questions to them. A coach, they bring the questions to you, okay? That's just one difference right there. But, you know, God brought into my life this mentor, a mentor. I won't tell you who he is, but what a blessing. He's in his 70s. And you know, seriously, he has mentored. If I told you people that he's mentored presidents, cabinets, movie stars, CEOs, large corporations. He's mentored them. He's in his 70s. He's very successful. He's a multi-gazillionaire, okay? Well, God set it up and brought him into my life to be a mentor into my life. Man, I'm so excited. So I go to pick him up. He flies into Lambert, and he goes to the hotel. And I go to pick him up, and I walk up to him. And I introduce myself. I shake my hand. I said, hello, I'm David Blunt. It's a joy to meet you. And I shake his hand. And the first thing out of his mouth is he said, you need hand lotion. What? He said, you need hand lotion. He didn't say, thanks for picking me up. Thanks for a Starbucks. So glad you brought me here. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Blah, 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 blah. No, he said, you need hand lotion. Let's see, what was he saying? He was teaching me right off the bat. He was saying, rough hands could be offensive to a relationship that you might need to go to the next level. The law of first impression. He was trying to help me. What would have happened if I would have got ticked off, slapped him, threw the Starbucks in his face? Who do you think you are, old man? Saying, I need hand lotion. I mean, every Sunday I get all I need by shaking the ladies' hands at Church on the Rock. I mean, I get all I need from you girls. Amen. I need it. What would have happened if I would have got mad, got upset? You know what I said? Thank you very much, called him by name, went out that day and bought all kinds of hand lotion. You choose to refuse to be offended. John Osteen, as many of you know, John Osteen was my pastor and my mentor. We talked monthly. He wanted me to talk weekly. I talked to him 2 days before he died. He said, you're my Elisha, I'm your Elijah. You have the double anointing on your life from me. But you know what? He offended me so many times. But I knew it was because he loved me. Every coach and every mentor I've ever had has offended me. Folks, if you and I don't learn how to choose to refuse to be offended, we'll never make our journey. Because on our journey, it's full of potholes. It's full of Satan's bait. It's full of traps. And they're called offenses, insults, and hurts. Are you with me, family? So, number three, we're going to choose to refuse to be offended. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, 9. He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. To seek love means that we walk the love walk. That's spiritual maturity. So, spiritual maturity, a spiritual Christian will not be offended. Oh, we'll get hurt. It won't feel good. But we won't hold on to the hurt. Because if we hold on to the hurt, we'll be hurt. And if we live hurt, we hurt people and we become difficult and we wonder why we had 62 jobs in the last 6 months. Been to 9 churches in 1 year. Just can't find anything to please me. Come on, somebody. Amen? So he says, she who covers, forgives an offense, seeks love. But he who repeats, puts it on Facebook, or harps on it, a matter, it will separate even close friends. Proverbs 12, verse 16, let's look at that. A fool's wrath is quickly and openly known. It means they respond by retaliating, losing their temper, screaming and yelling. They respond incorrectly. But a wise person, An intelligent person, a mature person, a prudent person will what? They will ignore insults. They will ignore offenses. Here's what I know. Pastoring this church, whom I love you so much, and how do you know I love you? If I feed you. And all these three decades of this church, every church is the same way. People come, people go. And the people who came and left and didn't go to some other church, they're not finishing the race with me. And you know why they're not walking with me today? They got insulted, they got offended, they got hurt, and they've held on to that hurt. And they lived their whole life shipwrecked, missing the abundant life, victorious life, because they've held on to that hurt, and now they're hurt, so they go around hurting people. If you're going to finish the race, if you're going to finish strong, you have to choose to refuse to be offended. They'll come, but we don't have to partake of them and live there. You with me, family? Come on, give God a good praise. Amen. So number one, we're going to go to God before we go to the difficult person. Number two, we're going to pray for them, because when we pray for them, God says he releases a blessing, boomerangs back into our life, and it comes from God. Number three, we're going to choose to refuse to be offended. Number four, we're going to look behind the behavior. We're going to look behind the behavior. Oh my goodness. We're going to ask God to help us walk a mile in their shoes. We're going to ask God for empathy. That's different than sympathy. We're going to ask God to help us to understand. Listen very carefully, worth coming to church. The more understanding you have of the person that's hurting you, the greater your patience will be. The greater understanding that we have of people who are difficult at work, at home, our neighbors, at school, on the campus, the more understanding that we know the behavior, that what's behind the behavior, that we understand why they're doing what they're doing, it releases patience to deal with that person. Am I helping somebody here today? Let me give you a scripture. A scripture on this is Proverbs 19, verse 11. It says, if you are sensible, everybody say sensible. That means if you have understanding, if you have senses, if you have understanding, you understand because you're looking behind their behavior. Something happened growing up. Something happened in the previous marriage. Something happened in the last church. Something happened when they were in school. A professor said something. A teacher said something. The ex-wife, the ex-husband, the mother-in-law, your sibling, your boyfriend, your girl. Something happened. And because of that, they didn't get over it. They got hurt. They held on to the hurt. So they're living hurt. So they're difficult to live with, difficult to run with, difficult to be with, difficult to communicate with. So what do? God, show me what's behind their behavior. God, I ask you for revelation. I ask you to show me why they're so belligerent. I ask you to show me why they don't like authority figures. I ask you to show me why they don't like organization. I ask you to show me, God, reveal to me what's behind the behavior. An understanding person, you will control your temper. When someone wrongs you, it's a great virtue to slap them. It's a great virtue to retaliate. It's a great virtue to put it on Facebook. It's a great virtue to ignore it. Here's what I know. I'm 64. You're going to have to ignore some stuff if you're going to finish the race. You can't carry it with you. You can't remind yourself of the hurts and the pain. Let the pain push you forward. When life kicks you, let it kick you forward. You know, I love Michael Jordan, that speech that he gave years and years ago when he was receiving a reward. Michael Jordan, I love this. He listed all the people who said he couldn't do it. And he said, this speech is for you. He did it. You know, when life gives you a kick, let it kick you forward. When life pushes you and shoves you, let it push you and shove you forward. When you fail, fail forward. You're going to have to learn to ignore it and consider the source. It's time for a praise break. This is too heavy a stuff. Come on, let's praise him. Team's coming out. Team's coming out. Number one, what are we going to do? Go to them. Oh, no. We're going to go to God before we go to them. Number two, we're going to pray for them. Number three, we're going to. I love you guys. This is heavy stuff, but you can handle it. Amen. God wouldn't have given it to me to give to you if he knew you can handle it. You're awesome. Okay. Number three, what are we going to do? Choose for you. Number four, look behind the behavior. And number five, here it goes. This is hard. Forgive them before they ever ask you for forgiveness. Now look at the scripture, Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, what do? Slap them. Forgive them. What does that mean? Let it drop. Quit texting it. Quit emailing it. Quit Facebooking it. Quit putting it all over. Let it drop. Let it go. Because if you don't, that hurt will hurt you. You'll hold on to it, and you'll end up hurting those you love and those that are your friends. So he says, let it drop, leave it, let it go. Why, God? Why do I got to do that? In order that your Father who is in heaven will also what? Forgive you your own. We got failings, don't we, church? I sure do. Shortcomings, I got a lot. And let them drop. So what do? It's a decision. If we're going to get along with difficult people, we got to decide we're going to forgive them if they never ask for forgiveness. A few weeks ago, I won't tell you who it is, but I'm talking to a TV minister. You all know who he is. Worldwide name, reaches millions of people, large ministry. I mean, been around for 60 years. He's in his 70s. I said, how do you get a ministry like you've got? I said, I know what you've gone through, the fire, the media. I know the heartache and the hurt you've gone through. I said, what's the price for an anointing like that? What's the price for a calling and ministry assignment to influence and impact millions of people all over the world? What's the price? Now, I'm thinking he's going to say, well, you got to fast. You got to pray so many hours a day. You got to do this. You got to do that. And he blew me out of the water. One word came right out of his spirit. He looked at me and he said, here's the cost. He said, here's the cost of a ministry like I have. Forgiveness. He said, it's the hardest thing for me to do. And he said, I have to do it daily. For all the people who talk bad about me. Forgiveness. Wow. So folks, have you learned anything today? Can we apply anything today? Can we just take one thing today? And we're not perfect because you got to learn this stuff, right? And it's hard. So we need God's grace.